is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour two of the Lombardi Line coming at you on a Tuesday. This show, as always, presented by DraftKings. We're live on VSiN and DraftKings Network, coming to you from coast to coast. Stormy Bonatoni here in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Michael Lombardi out there on the East Coast at his office in Jersey. And lots to unpack with more and more games getting revealed in the NFL early season. We got NBA postseason action. Caitlin Clark is going to be hitting the court in her first real WNBA regular season game tonight. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, did you know they finally were able to get charter service now, so they don't have to go through airports and wait for the flights? That's awesome for the sport and where this is going and the way ticket sales is really increasing. And I hope it's reflective and it stays that way because it's a lot of fun. She's done a lot of good for the league, which has made awareness. It's not all her. But her awareness, people wanting to her, have led you down. It's like, you know, you like one song that an artist sings and all of a sudden you listen to the whole album. You know, it kind of gets you in there. So I'm excited for that. Yeah, I'm really happy that they're able to fly, no longer have to fly commercial. That's awesome. And it's, you know, since we're back with DraftKings, it's good to have you back. It's good to have you back off that cruise and back in your normal spot talking about things. So we missed you.
Happy to be back. I appreciate you. It was a blast to spend a week out there in Alaska. But it's interesting. I don't know if you ever feel like this on vacation, Michael. You reach a point where you just miss being home. You miss your routine. I think both of us being sports-oriented people, you get so in a flow of what you're doing to have it broken up. I'm like, okay, I need to get back to work a little bit. So I'm happy to be back on the desk for sure.
Yeah, one of the hard things is to relax. Like, I haven't mastered relaxation completely. I can do it for 3 or 4 days, and then all of a sudden, wait a minute, I want to work on this. I need to work on that. I think you got to keep your mind active, and I think it's really challenging to do that, especially when there's so much going on. And you feel like, oh, my God, I'm missing something. Yep. What happened in the NFL? You know, what happened here? What happened there? And you can catch up. Once you learn that patience, I think you'll figure it out.
Yep. I am a very wound up person, so asking me to unwind is a daunting task. But there was a lot of stuff that did go on while I was away. And yesterday, I finally get back home. I'm getting situated. And what happens? We get a big deal with Jared Goff signing an extension with the Detroit Lions, which leads me to what's on Michael's mind today, because it does pertain to that deal and the Lions in particular.
Well, one of the things you always worry about as a general manager when you pay players, and certainly they need to be rewarded, is how does that affect the locker room, right? And last year when the Giants paid Daniel Jones, I said, uh-oh, not a good move, because Daniel wasn't the reason they won, and they overlooked Barkley, and they paid Jones, and that creates problems in the locker room. So you always wonder, you know, George Young, the former general manager of the New York Football Giants, had a great saying, the hungry soldier is the best soldier. And you always want that, right? And that's the same thing with employees, too. You don't want everybody to feel contentment, which is one of the virtues of the Patriots, that when Robert Kraft was coaching him over those 24 years, that he was able to develop the lack of contentment within his organization. Marvelous that he could do that from the owner's chair. But anyway, so my point here is, you worry about that. You worry about the level of competition because you become the hunted one. I remember a conversation someone talked about to Sean McVay after he won the Super Bowl. And the person said to him, he said, Sean, this is going to be the hardest year of your life, the next year. And he's like, what are you talking about? It's going to be the hard, because everybody's coming for you. Everybody studied your tape. Everybody, it's their Super Bowl. And I think it's a little bit for Detroit, too. But I think with Campbell as a leader, I think Goff is a guy who's been here before. I think they have a team that isn't content, and I think that's a good thing. I think they got to offset the fact that people are coming for them. And the division is good. I think Green Bay is better, no question. And I think the NFC will be coming for them as well. So, look, it's good to get players played. We know Goff's not the second best player in the league, but unfortunately, or fortunately for Goff, that's the cost of doing business.
And I do have a sidebar that I want to go down on that, but I'll get to it in a moment, because to stick with the Lions portion of this and still being hungry, as you called it, like, you got ripped last year for your comments on the New York football Giants, right? And talking about the Daniel Jones contract mm-hmm. and Saquon Barkley holding out and the potential disease of me. Brian Daboll is coach of the year and the Giants have this awesome season. And then you questioned, okay, what is that going to look like going into this season? Well, they end up being a 6-win team and you were right on all counts. And then Daniel Jones has the injury that he has, yada, yada, yada. So it is a very real fear and you have high expectations and people are gunning for you now. It's different.
Yeah, and people study you, right? You're no longer the Lions. You know, one of the things we're going to see at the schedule, Stormy, is and I read Bill Ady's newsletter. Again, we urge everybody to sign up. Use the code mm-hmm. Lombardi to do that because you get all this valuable information. And I think it was Steve Fencick was talking about the schedule coming out and what he looks for as a professional gambler. What I look for as somebody who's been in the league is will the team, when they're playing an uncommon opponent, will they have enough time to prepare for them, or are they going to do a good enough job in the offseason preparing for them? For example, right, if you haven't played in Seattle for a lot of years, now you're going there, you don't know what McDonald's going to do on defense. You're not sure what Ryan Grubb's going to look like on offense, although you'll get tape, but you'll just be superficially gaining the tape. You have to prepare for the uncommon opponent in May and June, July in training camp. And if you don't do that, that week becomes very challenging for you. And then that's when you lose to a team you probably shouldn't have lost to because you don't know them. You don't have a feel for them. You don't know how they call the game. You know, when you're Cleveland, you go play Pittsburgh, you know who you're dealing with, right? When you're Cleveland, you go play Baltimore, you know it. But now you're Cleveland and you're going out to play San Francisco, different ballgame. Right. And so that becomes a factor. And I think you've got to really look at the schedule. And for Detroit, they are going to be a team that studied all offseason. And people are going to look for ways to exploit their defense and ways to take advantage of their offense.
12 wins a season ago, make it all the way to the NFC title game, win total set at 2.5, and they are the second shortest shot in the NFC behind only the 49ers as well. To follow up on that other point you made, when it comes to the price tag and Jared Goff's average annual value looking around $53 million right now, what does this mean for some other quarterbacks? Thinking about Tua Tagovailoa, who's obviously going to get a new deal here soon. Dak Prescott, you look at, Josh Allen is going to need a new deal at some point in the near future. What does this do for that? Because you look at that guy is getting paid $53 million. Well, my initial asking price is changing now.
Well, see, here's what the leagues aren't allowed to collude with. What are you going to pay your guy? What are you going to pay our guy? But the agents talk to one another. And so Tua's agent probably had a really good sense because he's represented. Goff is represented by the Tolner family, Ryan and Brett Tolner, right, who used to work for Lee Steinberg. And Steinberg represents Tua. And so they know. And so I'm sure Lee probably knew this deal was coming. And so he backs off. He walks away. Okay, here it is. They paid Goff 53. My guy's better than Goff. I want 55. Well, wait a minute. We thought we were in the 45. No. We're here. See, and so that you just keep using the ladder, and they know when a deal's coming or when it's getting closer. And so they back off of a deal. If you're in the middle of a negotiation and you feel like you're getting somewhere and all of a sudden the agent goes dark on you, you know he knows another deal's coming that's going to hurt your deal. Because he don't want to talk to you anymore. He don't want to talk to you anymore. He wants to avoid it. He's in four-corner offense. And so I think this Goff deal certainly impacts it. Now, you know, what do they say to that? Well, Goff's more experienced. He's been to a Super Bowl. You can discredit it, but then Lee's going to come back and say, well, yeah, he's eventually going to get you there, so he has to be rewarded for it. It becomes the ladder, and if you climb the ladder, the numbers are just going to keep going up.
Which this is a conversation for another day, but presents an interesting situation for the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones, who's kind of just been sitting back and waiting to figure out how to put these deals together. They're just going to get more and more expensive as we go. Also, Michael, speaking of the Cowboys, we know their first game of the season. It's been revealed they'll be playing at the Browns. Tom Brady's broadcasting debut with Fox. A number of other games that have come out. The Browns, by the way, a 1-point favorite in that game. Total 44.5. The Chiefs get the Ravens. Ravens and Bengals back-to-back weeks to open the season. They're laying 3 against Baltimore, laying 4 against Cincinnati. Aaron Rodgers is going to open the season on Monday Night Football again, this time against the 49ers. They're getting 5.5 points in that one, total 46.5. And we also know the Thursday Night Football game on Amazon. So we'll have that first Thursday Night Chiefs game on NBC, but then the first Amazon game, Bills at Dolphins with Miami laying 1 at home.
Yeah, and then look, we got Bengals Chiefs. So the first thing I want to look for in that, before any play on the Bengal Chief game, is who do the Bengals play in the opener?
Mm-hmm.
And are they on the road, and who do they play? And is it if they play Pittsburgh to open the season up, that 4 is the right number, right? If they play a physical game to start the season, that 4 is the right number. And it's the same thing with Buffalo Miami. Who are they playing on Sunday that they have the short week? Now look, Buffalo and Miami both know each other in terms of their personnel. But with Anthony Weaver now as a new defense coordinator, you know, Buffalo's not sure what he's going to run. He's from a different system than Vic Fangio. He's from a different system than Josh Boyer. This will be the third defensive coordinator in Miami in 3 years. So that's going to cause a little bit of, I don't really know this guy very well. And that creates some problems. That's the intertwining part of the schedule. As us, as handicappers and people that study the league, it's really important to see, because this is the void you're looking for.
Also, Michael, because you mentioned short week, schedule makers not doing the Jets any favors. In addition to playing a physical team in the San Francisco 49ers for Aaron Rodgers and a number of players that they have signed that have injury history or coming off injuries, a short week from week 1 to week 2 right out the gates. So that'll be an interesting one to pay attention to too, who they end up having week 2.
Former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time, we here at VSiN are offering our annual subscription at a ridiculous rate. Usually it's $240. You can grab the subscription now for just $199. And when you sign up today, you're also getting an extra 2 months free. So 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day. But you need to use our promo code Lombardi. With VSiN Pro, that'll get you instant access to our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see who has the best win percentage and ROI. 19 hours of live programming each and every day, including expert breakdowns and in-game analysis, proven betting systems from professional handicappers, as well as our exclusive betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for $199. Use that promo code again, Lombardi. This is the Lombardi Line alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. And we'll continue our NFL schedule release talk with Albert Breer, who joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line, senior NFL reporter, insider, MMQB. And we talked about it off the top of the show, Albert, that nothing is like better evidence for how the NFL is king than a day like yesterday, where you've got the NBA and NHL postseason going on, yet everybody's talking about the NFL schedule release for games we already knew were going to be played. We just didn't know when.
Yeah, it's really unbelievable. I mean, I can remember when this first started, and I was NFL Network sent me to a bar in Chicago, and this is probably like 2015 or so. And Michael's probably familiar with some of these assignments, but I got sent to this bar in Chicago, and it just happened to be on the same night the Blackhawks and the Bulls were playing in the playoffs on the same night. And so we literally had to ask them to change one of the TVs over to the schedule release, because there's no way it was gonna be on any of the TVs there. And almost had to like generate like this like feeling that someone in the bar cared. So, you know, certainly it's come a long way in a short time. And I mean, I like, it's just another piece of evidence that America can't get enough football.
Not enough. I mean, look, we're going to send them Carolina and the New York Giants, and the Germans will love it more than anything in the world. It'll be amazing, right? I mean, you know, we couldn't send two worse quarterbacks over there in the league, but they're going to eat it all up. All right, speaking of quarterbacks, my favorite subject, that Super Bowl winning franchise, the Atlanta Falcons down there. What have you heard since the pick's been made? There's been a lot of conversation about how Arthur Blank wanted Cousins and Super Bowl winning GM Fontenot wanted to draft Penix. What have you heard?
You know, what I've heard, Michael, is a lot of buzz terms from Home Depot being thrown around. And the main one that kind of, you know, rings true when you look at, you know, what they've done over the last 3 months is succession plan. They talked a lot about succession plans in that organization over the last couple of months. And, you know, I think a big piece of their quarterback plan was making sure that they weren't going to be left empty handed in any sort of way. And so, look, I think part of it's the PTSD that the owner has over the way the last 3 years went. They offloaded Matt Ryan a year before they wanted to because of the Deshaun Watson situation. You know, then they try to tread water for a year with Marcus Mariota. That doesn't work. They try to tread water for a year with Desmond Ridder. That doesn't work. And so I think, you know, Fontenot and Raheem Morris went into the offseason with this mandate to get the quarterback position right. And, you know, they've obviously gone over the top in doing it. I think it's totally fair to be critical of the way this was handled. And you know, my reporting has shown that, you know, like Kirk Cousins, one of the reasons that he left the Vikings in the first place, because they were very upfront with him about what they were going to do. And they would not rule out the idea that even if he stayed, that they would draft the quarterback of the future, you know, in 2024. It's part of the reason why he didn't sign an extension there in 2023. And it's part of the reason why he chose Atlanta over Minnesota when he was out there in free agency. And he thought the guaranteed money protected him. But obviously things went the other way, you know, with a number of different things happening over the course of the spring. But obviously he liked Penix quite a bit, too.
And, you know, nobody can fault either one of them for being upset at the situation, whether you're Kirk Cousins or Michael Penix Jr., but credit both of them for the way that they're handling things outwardly. Like, they can't be mad at each other for the situation that they got put in.
I don't think anybody thought like Cousins was going to, you know, take the low road on this one. Yeah. Like he's a stand up guy. That doesn't mean he doesn't have his own feelings. I mean, again, like a huge part of this is, you know, you imagine one employer tells you one thing. Could happen, and you go the other way because that one thing could happen, and you're not aware that that one thing could happen with your new employer, and then a few weeks into your new job, that thing does happen. You might have your own feelings on it too. So I think human nature, just from the standpoint of human nature, there's no question that Kirk Cousins has his own feelings about how all this went, but you know, he's taken the high road here. And, you know, I think the same way Aaron Rodgers didn't take it out on Jordan Love when everything transpired in Green Bay in 2020. I don't think Kirk Cousins is going to take any of this out on Michael Penix.
Let's shift to the Raiders. I was my understanding that they said it was a coin flip between Brock Bowers and someone else. What have you heard about what happened inside that Raider draft room?
Well, you know, Michael, I think that their plan A was actually Penix, you know, and, you know, one thing I have heard is that, you know, their move to plan B was to go with their move to plan B was a result of the quarterbacks coming off the board the way that they did. Now, I don't know if they would have liked Nix or McCarthy enough to take them, but, you know, I certainly think if Penix had been there for 13, that would have been the pick. And so with six quarterbacks off the board in the first 12 picks, you know, they pivot. And I do think Brock Bowers was the overwhelming choice in the room. I think it was Terrion Arnold. I can't remember if it was Arnold or Quinion Mitchell. Was it Arnold, Stormy? Is that right?
Correct.
I think it was Terrion Arnold. So I think he's the one who said it would have been a coin flip and that a coach told him that. And then, you know, Antonio Pierce said he hadn't talked to Arnold. So, you know, true Raider fashion, there's a little bit of a mess left behind. But I do think that Telesco and the scouting staff really – they were in on Brock Bowers because they felt like they were uniquely positioned to take him in as a player. The one thing that's interesting about him, and you know, Michael, you could probably dive into this a little bit more on the football end of things, is that he, as great a player as he was at Georgia, you need to have a plan for him because he's not a traditional tight end. So you almost have to have a traditional tight end to use him correctly. Well, the Raiders are one team that actually does have that, and Michael Mayer, you know, and having Mayer on board as their traditional inline wide tight end you know, enabled them to take a swing here on a pretty special athlete in Brock Bowers.
You're also very
no question. Go ahead, Storm. Well, he's more of the F tight end, is all I was going to say. I agree with Albert. Go ahead.
Well, you're also very close, obviously, Albert, with the Patriots organization. You know that inside and out very, very well. They are one of just two teams going into the season that are underdogs in every single game. Mm-hmm. New head coach, new situation, bring in a young quarterback in Drake May. What's your understanding of the situation? Because Mayo comes out and says Drake May's got a lot of work to do. That we know. I think everybody knew going in. But is there a chance you think we could see him starting this year like we've seen so many rookie quarterbacks in the past?
Yeah, I think the number is, and you can look back at this, I think the number is 48 quarterbacks have been taken in the first round in the last 16 draft cycles, and only two didn't start at least one game their rookie year. One was Jordan Love. The other one was Jake Locker. Mahomes waited till week 17 to start a game, but all three of those guys had established guys ahead of him. Was Hasselbeck, Matt Hasselbeck in front of Jake Locker, Alex Smith in front of Mahomes, and Aaron Rodgers in front of Jordan Love. So history tells us it's almost inevitable that Drake May is going to start a game at some point. Now, I don't think the plan is for him to start right now. They view him as being pretty raw. He needs to be rebuilt in certain ways. They need to clean up a lot of stuff with his feet. Obviously, I think there's some accuracy issues that metastasized from some of the things that were going on around him. I'm in North Carolina last year. So, you know, part of Gerard's whole idea and putting a staff together was to put together some quarterback infrastructure. They felt like they did that and bringing in Alex Van Pelt and Ben McAdoo and TC McCartney. And so I think, you know, it's almost like this isn't a competition. You know what I mean? It's to me, it's like more like Drake May competing against himself. I don't think that they want to risk messing up his development just to throw him out there and get game reps. So this isn't so much Drake May against Jacoby Brissett as Drake May kind of fighting to convince the coaches there that he's ready to get into a game, and all the work that they've done won't come undone if he does get in the game.
Yeah, and the reality of it is Albert, if they don't start fast, you don't think, you know, because you look at their schedule, mm-hmm. it's not an easy schedule, especially where they are. You don't think eventually they'll have to put him in?
Yeah, and you know, like that's, I mean, as you know, like it takes great discipline not to, because you got, I mean, you guys know, right? Like everybody up here in New England is all for redshirting him now. And I think you guys both know exactly what will happen if they're 0-5 or 2-6, which is people screaming from the rooftops, why don't you just throw the kid in there? And, you know, again, history shows us that teams almost always buckle to that pressure for one reason or another, whether it's pressure from ownership, empty seats. You know, you get to November 1st, there are 20,000 empty seats, Jacoby Brissett's on the field. What do you think the narrative up here is going to be? It's going to be, why don't you just get Drake May the reps, even if that's not what's best for the kid? And so, you know, I think, you know, as much as it has to do with Drake May and his development, like I said, it's also having the right situation for him. If you're constantly playing from behind, if you're constantly in third and long, it's going to create a situation where bad habits can be reinforced.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You know, we here on the Lombardi Line want to help you out, and we have a huge deal to do just that right now on VSiN. Our annual subscription is usually $240. You can get it now for just $199, and if you sign up today, you'll also be getting an extra 2 full months for free. So that's 14 months of VSiN Pro for less than 50 cents a day, and all you need to do is use our promo code Lombardi. With VSiN Pro access, you get instant access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the best win percentage and ROI, 19 hours of live programming each and every day, including expert breakdowns and in-game analysis, proven betting systems from professional handicappers, and our exclusive betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game as well. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to claim again your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199, and use that promo code for our show. Help us out. Lombardi, see, we help you, you help us. That's the way that the system works. Welcome back into the Lombardi Line. Stormy Bonantoni and Michael Lombardi with you. And it is time, Michael, to put your GM NFL executive knowledge to work for us, translating some of the sound that we hear coming out of the mouths of all these NFL coaches and quarterbacks specifically during these offseason workouts. So it's time for GM Translator. Yesterday, we heard from Michael Penix Jr. and his approach to the unusual working relationship with Kirk Cousins. Well, now we have also heard from Cousins, Michael. Kirk, what did you think of the news that Atlanta was taking a quarterback at number 8 overall? Let's take a listen to him on Bussin' with the Boys.
You're reminded again that there are things you control, and there's a lot of things you don't control. And so let's deal in reality, you know, and recognize that fact, and then be a steward, not an owner. So I just believe that I got to steward what comes my way and control what I can control, which is what a steward does. But a steward doesn't worry about that which they can't control.
So it's fair to say Kirk Cousins, the Falcons, there's no beef involved.
No, and I don't think there can be. I don't think it's helpful. Like, we're trying to win a Super Bowl, and it's hard enough. Like, you know what I mean? It's hard enough. So let's all be on the same page, and let's try to go win a Super Bowl.
All right, Michael, what's the GM translation?
I got $100 million. I'm happy. It check cleared. It's good in the bank. You know, I'm pretty good. I've got a lot of money set up for not only my generation, my kids' generation, and their generation, their kids' generation. So I'm good. Everything's fine. And if they want to do what they want to do, so be it. But, you know, I'm not going to badmouth them because I enjoy their checks, and I love the fact that they're cash all the time. So that's, what else could he say? What's he going to say? I'm upset.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Michael, $100 million would certainly ease the pain. But yeah, and like, he has the right to be upset, obviously, given the situation and the expectation you had in the conversations that you were having with leadership. But I also think that some of what he's saying is true, that like, it's not Michael Penix Jr.'s fault that he's in this position. We're still going to do the best that we can, right?
No question. And like the great Arnold Rothstein said, the man who fixed the White Sox World Series, you know, nothing says I'm sorry better than money. And $100 million can say you're sorry, right? Mm. This is the perfect example of it, right? And so, you know, we're sorry we drafted Penix, but you got $100 million in the bank. Can we move on now?
So good. Okay, let's go to Kirko's former team in Minnesota, where two picks after the Michael Penix selection, the Minnesota Vikings took J.J. McCarthy. Here's McCarthy over the weekend, followed by head coach Kevin O'Connell on his early acclimation to the offense.
It was simple because it didn't feel like my first day. You know, I've been going over the offense for a long time now, so being able to go out there and actually perform and execute it, that's new. But it was nothing that, you know, was overwhelming or, you know, too much.
Total learning environment. There really isn't, you know, I know some folks may be keeping track of completions and interceptions and things like that. it's too early for that conversation, I can tell you that much. But, yeah, it's all teachable, and that's what makes it this time of year so valuable.
All right, Michael, what's the word?
I think to me it's exactly what you would expect. It's like, look, he's learning, he's studying, he's probably trying to tell you that he's doing the things that a pro needs to do. You know, we said this yesterday. One of the things every college kid who leaves the campus and goes to a pro environment, he must separate himself from no longer being an amateur and becoming a pro. And everything he said there, I agree. I think it was straightforward. I think, you know, it's going to be measured in days, not in weeks. You got to get better every single day.
I sat back and listened to all of JJ's comments this weekend, and like, the maturity just oozes from this kid, right? Like, you know, he's mature, he's cerebral, he's dialed in, he's going to do everything it takes to know the playbook inside and out. And like, you have to respect that element to it. And Kevin O'Connell is such a good coach to get him on the right track. Also, speaking to those comments that Kevin O'Connell had about, we're not, you know, there's some people that are tracking completions, da 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 da. Saw a tweet there on the Twitter machine from the Athletic NFL that Caleb Williams today at practice didn't have a single incompletion. Keep inflating those Bears markets. Let's go.
I mean, look, you know, football is a game of tackling. Football is a game of physical contact. OTA days has none of that. Like, there's none of that. You know, and so Grady's had the ball into. I mean, Jake Locklear, when I went to his workout, Jake Locklear up at University of Washington, he threw one incomplete pass out of 65 throws. He's not even in the NFL. It's meaningless. It's meaningless.
Shout out producer Elliot for bringing that to our attention. A ball did not hit the ground. How impressive.
He knows how to annoy me. That Elliot knows how to annoy me perfectly.
Monday, we heard Patriots new head coach Jerod Mayo have some comments on Drake May that he has some work he needs to do. That is a thought process that's been echoed by a lot of other analysts, by fans alike. Let's hear from Drake May himself when asked about the criticism he's facing.
Jerod said you were here pretty late last night, just going over stuff. What was that, you know, going through your
I mean, I think it's, you know, quarterback, you got to know what everybody's doing on the field in the offense. You got to know all 11. You got to know just, you know, my job. So you got to know what everybody's doing. And I think that's, it takes extra time and takes extra drawing up, extra questions.
Do you see what folks are saying? I mean, you get the lay people out here just say, ah, his footwork's a mess. Do you see what people are saying in terms of, hey, yeah, I do have to, those are things I need to work on?
You know, not every time. Everybody knows what's going on. Just trying to, you know, play ball and try to win games and learn as much as I can.
Some beat writers crack me up. There's a different way to ask that question, but neither here nor there. Michael, what's the GM translator telling you?
He's working hard. He's just trying. But I think what's so fascinating about that conversation that went back and forth is people are saying his footwork is really bad. Okay? All right, if you think his footwork is bad, tell them how to correct his footwork. Do you think the person that's saying his footwork is bad can coach him up on how to correct it? Of course they can. They'd have no idea how to correct it. But they're going to keep saying that his footwork's bad. Like, at some point, like, if you can't correct it, how could you say it? Because the only way you know it's wrong is if you know the right way. Correct?
Sure.
And none of those people know the right way or know what's being asked of them in the system. So it's really just a ridiculous question with no one being able to supply an answer. And so now all of a sudden, you know, we'll get this, you know, this nothing that's provable becomes fact, which is really wrong. And so I feel bad for him. I think the kid's doing a good job. He just got to keep his mouth shut and keep working.
And he's in the NFL now. He's going to have the right people around him to work out some of those kinks. He'll work on whatever footwork issues that he has. He's going to get the scheme down. He's going to work on being under center. Like, that's what this time is for. And he's got Jacoby Brissett right there, who's, I mean, I think we all anticipate him being the starter right away. And so he'll have a little bit of time extra to sit back, watch, and learn and grow and mature and all of those things. Picked just ahead of May at number two overall, Jaden Daniels to the Washington Commanders. Here's the reigning Heisman Trophy winner on being the new franchise QB for a historic organization.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a franchise that's eager, you know, be able to go out there and, you know, try to help the team win football games. And obviously, it's new everything here. And, you know, the DMV, this fan base, you know, everybody, they want to see wins. They want to see excitement, want to see joy. So, you know, hopefully that we could go out there, we could do it as a Commanders franchise, as a team. But, you know, that's way down the road. You know, we worry about rookie minicamp and practice tomorrow.
The GM translation, Michael?
Well, he knows how much pressure's on him. He recognizes the fan base hasn't won. He knows just going around town that people expect him to turn it around. And then he backed off and said, you know, let's just give us one day at a time, because that pressure is going to start to get on him. He knows it. He can feel it. You can sense it from certain fan bases. We know it. It happens with the Bears all fans all the time. They're so desperate for their answer, and they may have it in Caleb Williams, but they're going to put so much pressure on the player. It's a little bit like what's going on with Bronny James. I mean, like, why is everybody putting so much pressure on the kid? Just let the kid play. You know, let Daniels play, but that pressure from the outside really becomes a deterrent. And I think you can recognize in his answer that he feels it, and I hope it doesn't affect his play.
Commanders, in terms of the season win total, we as bettors know that those expectations can only go so high, sitting 6.5. It is -120, though, to the over. We'll see how Jaden Daniels performs in his year one in Washington. When we come back on the Lombardi Line, Harry Gagnon, former sportsbook supervisor, now bettor, host of the Against All Odds podcast. He's got plays in the NBA postseason, the PGA Championship, as well as a trifecta box for the Preakness, baby. We'll be right back.
This This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sound the trumpets. It's horse racing time, ladies and gentlemen. Saddle up for action with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app can get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when you use the promo code VSINHORSE. That's VSINHORSE. VSIN Horse, all one word. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Wager on your favorite horses, then watch the races live right in the app. Download the DK Horse app. Now, as we welcome you back to the Lombardi Line, we will have Harry Gagnon, former sportsbook supervisor, better host of the Against All Odds podcast. He's going to join us a little bit later on in hour two. And you know he's coming locked and loaded with Preakness picks. I need all the trifecta box content, Michael. But
now, will you tell people what you did yesterday? Can you make a confession here? Because yesterday, on your first day back from your wonderful Alaska trip, which we missed you terribly, you came back and I accused you of having a teaser, right? Thank you, Stormy, in your pocket. And you violently denied it. You said, no. And you immediately, I was home maybe a half hour, you confessed to, you couldn't resist, although you didn't do the teaser, but you did do something.
Okay, yes. I was going to say, let's clarify. We can clear the air here. Yes, my thought process was...
Yes, clear the air.
I've been gone for a week. I probably shouldn't be firing on bets after just one day of getting prepped and getting back into stuff. But then I was like, you know what? I need a funny money sweat. Like, what fun is watching this game if I don't have a little action in it? And so I did end up betting Caitlin Clark over 6.5 assists, which was a bust of all busts. She also, like, bad bet, by the way, for all of the public that was betting her over on points, set at 20.5. She ends up having 20 there. But it was just, I just wanted something and I wanted to root for her, and any other thing I probably would have taken an under on. But I said, no, I want to root for her. So I'm going to pick something I think that she can get the over on, and not close. So waste there. But we did cash the money line parlay I texted you on in the NBA. So that was a plus money one. We ended up being profitable on the day. So even with my just pizza money type of day one sweat action, we ended up winning money, and that's all that matters.
Perfect. See, I needed to get out there. That needed to, the people needed to know that you were just not sitting on your hands, that you were just not going to let a great day in the betting world slip you by. And I appreciate you telling us that.
I really feel bad, though, that I lied to the people. I was like, you know what? I don't know much about the WNBA. I'm just going to sit back, watch, and learn. And no, I said, well, I'm firing anyway. So there we go.
Well, but it proved your point, right? You bet just because you wanted to be engaged. And because you didn't know how badly that her team was around her, that she couldn't get into to get those assists you needed, because the players she's playing with, you know, they've been picking first in the draft for a reason, you know, exactly, weren't good enough to get the ball in the basket when she dished it to them.
Yeah, the Sun are a team that are a year-in, year-out contender. The Fever are one of the worst teams in the league, and I think that's important to remember, too, that, I mean, Caitlin Clark, it was the first overall pick to that team for a reason, and they've had that pick a couple times now here. But we'll save some more of that talk for another day. The next time that they are in action, we'll see if she ultimately can bounce back, although the Liberty are going to be a tough test as well. We got plenty of NFL to discuss, Michael, because we came up with a fun segment today.
Yeah.
We're calling Buy or Beware. There are a number of starting quarterbacks around the National Football League that are coming off significant injuries. Let's go one by one here and see if this is a player and a team that, despite the injury, you are willing to buy in on in 2024. Starting with, we got to start with Kirk Cousins. Kirko, he's in the news each and every day with everything that happened in the draft. And of course, the big contract that he signed, had a season-ending torn Achilles week 8 last season with Minnesota. Surgery in November. Over the weekend, Raheem Morris called him pretty much full go. And Cousins, in his availability yesterday, said he feels the best he's felt and everything is trending in the right direction. His passing yards prop set at 4,000.5, 27.5 the passing touchdowns market. The Falcons, we talked about them, high expectations, easy strength of schedule, 9.5 win total, and an odds-on favorite in the division. Buy or beware on Kirko?
I would beware. I mean, look, part of being able to achieve all these numbers is to have a kind of a connectivity to your team. And I think, to me, Will they have that? Now, look, I know Zach Robinson is very familiar with what Kirk can do, but are we sure the Falcons are really good up front? Are we sure they're going to be able to protect him like they need to protect him? And are we sure their defense is good enough? And all those things kind of relate to where he can best benefit them. Like, I don't understand the Atlanta going from 7 wins to 9.5 on their over total. I don't see it, because if you study the numbers, they've done nothing to improve their defense. And their defense wasn't good enough. It's all perception. It's all about, we're just, because they think they're one player away. And they're blaming Arthur Smith for everything. So I would be leery of anything in the Atlanta vein and the Kirk Cousins vein, because, A, I don't think they have a great home field advantage. You know, I think they're going to play some, they play the, you know, some teams that, you know, I know the strength of schedule doesn't look good, but the NFC South plays the East. So that means they're playing Dallas, they're playing Philly. Can they beat both of those teams? I don't know. Can they beat Washington? I think that would be a good game. Could they beat the Giants? Who knows? You know, and then they have to play the AFC West. We know the two teams that have a hard time beating would be the Chargers and the Chiefs. Can they beat the Raiders? Can they beat the Broncos? I don't think it's an easy schedule. I think it's an easy schedule based on the one loss percentage. But when you look at those teams and you look at the quarterbacks that you have to play, I'm not sure it's an easy schedule.
Sure. And also the thing from an injury standpoint with Kirk Cousins that could go one of two ways is that he hasn't really dealt with a significant injury in his 12-year career. So you could say, hey, that means he's a proven, durable guy. He'll recover fine, yada, yada, yada. Or you could take the other side of that and like, he's never dealt with this before. How is his body going to be able to handle this injury? How mentally is he going to handle this? If he's dropping back and guys are around his feet, is he going to try to get the ball out quickly? There are a lot of other things to this. You also think about like calf injuries that can happen after Achilles injuries. Those are very common. So that's a worry. And I think that calf injury or overcompensating on the other leg, that's another question you're going to have for Aaron Rodgers, who's coming off the same injury. Although because he suffered his so early, just 4 plays into week one, the debut with the Jets last year, he's had a lot more time to strengthen that and get back to where he's at. Buy or beware on Aaron Rodgers and the Jets.
Well, I think that, you know, this is an if play all the way, because we know the Jets are ifers, right? We know that. But I do think if Rodgers plays 17, again, if is the caveat to every one of these categories, he will throw for over 3,800 yards, right? I think that would be the one I would look at. Now, I do think, and I know we haven't talked about this, but I think there is a little bit of some undercurrent within that building. We know that a report was leaked out that they wanted to get rid of Hackett, but they knew they couldn't. And they wanted to improve their offense, but they couldn't get somebody to come in a situation where that Hackett was going to stay on the staff. That's a really challenging thing. So there's people in the building that don't believe in Hackett. Rodgers does. And, you know, when you start the season, that looks really good. You don't think that's a problem. Well, everybody's on the same page. But once you lose, if you fly out to San Francisco and your offense can't move the ball, you're going to lose that on the same page. You're going to find out no one's aligned. That's what would scare me, because if you just look at Hackett's offenses, they have not been very good to achieve these kind of numbers and win the division.
Yeah, but to your point, that's Rodgers' guy, right? And again, like, his health is going to be tied into a lot of other things outside of just his own. The offensive line that had 13 different combinations last year, you retool that line, but with guys that have health concerns as well. So yeah, a lot to think about. But 3,800.5 the passing yards, 26.5 the passing touchdowns number, Jets 9.5 win total. How about Joe Burrow? His season ended after 10 games last year, needed surgery to repair torn ligaments in his right wrist. Buy or beware on Burrow and the Bengals?
I would buy everything. I'm all in on the Bengals. And, you know, I think, to me, I would buy this because I think he is going to play well. I like their team. Now, people are concerned. There's been a report that, you know, that have had this injury before with his wrist, that it you loses some of those calcium deposits and it's maybe not as strong and it could be prone to breaking again. That I don't know. But I do fully expect him to have a really good year. I think their team has improved, especially defensively. And with T. Higgins back to go along with Chase and the weapons they have, I think they're going to be very good.
Rapid fire, 20 seconds each. Deshaun Watson and the Browns, buy or beware?
Beware. I think there's no – I'm not sold that – and I love Deshaun coming out of college. I'm not sold that he can come back to his old form.
How about Daniel Jones and the Giants, buy or beware?
What do you think? Take a wild guess, Stormy, for me. Take a real wild one, huh?
Oh, beware, what do you think beware, on that beware. One?
I can't wait for this. I can't wait for Hard Knocks offseason New York Giants. We're going to find out how they felt. Or are they going to tell us how they felt? Because remember, they were trading up for Joe Alt. They weren't trading up for a quarterback. Not buying that.
For anyone who hadn't seen the news, there's a 5-part series beginning on July 2nd that's an off-season new version of Hard Knocks, which I think specifically for this team will be so interesting that the Giants were the pick because of all of the talk that we've had about could Drew Locke be QB1 coming out of camp this year? We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line.